Well, good morning. It's good to be in the house of the Lord, and we can certainly know that the Lord has blessed us, and even when we have failed and come short of His glory, God is still worthy of all the praise. He's worthy of all the honor. And it's good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
We have come to celebrate God's goodness, and we want to just share a little bit of a song. I don't know whether we've sung this one, Hold God's Unchanging Hand. We haven't sung that one? Okay, so we can sing that one as we prepare for worship. Amen. Let's just sing that. You can remain seated as we'll sing that song. I'm going to ask Brother Joe if he'll help us out. David, y'all help us out in this. All right. Amen. Number 248 in your hymnal. Just the first and last verse. Time is filled with swift transition. Not of earth unmoved can stand. Build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. You ought to hold to His hand. God's unchanging hand. Hold to His hand. God's unchanging hand. Build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. When your journey is completed, if to God you have been true, fair and bright your home. Soul will view. Oh, you've got to hold to His hand, God's unchanging hand. We need to hold to His hand, God's unchanging hand. Build your hopes on things eternal. Oh, yeah, hold to God's unchanging hand. Oh, you've got to hold to His hand, God's unchanging hand. Hold to His hand, God's unchanging hand. Build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Amen. Our scripture today comes to us from the book of 2 Samuel, chapter 24, verses 22 through 25. 2 Samuel chapter 24, verses 22 through 25. The interesting thing about this verse is that the chapter begins with God being angry
with His people. God was angry with the children of Israel. And we discover the reason or the what had caused that anger of the Lord to be turned against His people. And so David is now reconciling with God. He's seeing the need to reconcile with God. And this involves the altar. We've been talking about the altar. This involves the altar. Listen to what he says. And Araunah said unto David, let my lord the king take and offer up what seems to be good to him. Behold, here are the oxen for the burnt sacrifice and threshing instruments and other instruments of the oxen for wood. All these things did Araunah as a king gave to the king. And Araunah said to the king, the Lord your God accept you. Verse 24. And the king said unto Araunah, no, but I will surely buy it from you at a price. Neither will I offer burnt offerings to the Lord my God that which cost me nothing. So David purchased the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver. And David built there an altar unto the Lord and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. So the Lord was entreated for the land, and the plague was stopped from Israel. Thus ends the reading of God's holy word. You may be seated as we go to the Lord in prayer. We want to just share with you a few thoughts on offering something on your altar. Offering something on your altar. In other words, we want to make sure that we're getting it right when we offer on the altar. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you again for your amazing grace. Thank you for your love. Thank you for all that you've done. I pray that you would now speak to our hearts. Help us to grow closer to you, closer to one another, that we might serve you in spirit and in truth. Change us by what we hear and change us for the good. We humbly ask in Jesus' name, amen. We want to get it right when we offer to God. We want to make sure that the offering means something to God. And in order to get it right with God and the offering to mean something, it has to be of substance. We've got to give something of value, something that we feel is important, but not only what we feel is important, but will God accept what I'm offering him? So that's the underlying question that we deal with. Reverend Gibbons was talking a few minutes ago about the anger and things that we have, or the things in life that we hold on to. And the amazing thing about God is that he will trade us. If we're willing to put something on the altar, God will take that and give you something else. So I don't ever want you to think that I'm going to come to the altar and I'm going to offer God something and he's not going to give me something back. Here's what happens. We start treasuring those things that mean something to us. We start holding on to it as if it's really, really important. And we'll say to ourselves, I'm going to keep this. I'm going to keep this because this defines who I am. That may be the thing that God wants you to put on the altar. See, the thing that we are sometimes not aware of, even though we know that God looks at sin and is repulsive of our sin that we commit, yet he also is a God that forgives your sin, because the whole thing behind the offering is to get rid of it. Is to get rid of it. Who else can you take your problems to? Who else can you take your sin to? Who else can you take your burdens to? Who else can you take the wrong in your life and ask to make it right except God? Now, you can go to friends, you can go to counselors, you can go to different ones asking them, take my burden, but they'll only listen to it because guess what? People have enough concerns of their own. You can go to family members and say, well, I need you to help me. They'll help you a little while, but only God can come in and really deliver you from the issue that you're facing. Now, let me just let you know how critical it was that David had to get this right. King David was faced with a situation. He had felt the need to number the people of Israel. He wanted to go out and count how many soldiers he had in his army, how many people he had in his kingdom, and it was an act of pride. It was an act of pride. It was a way of saying, look who I am. I've come a long way. I've gotten so far in my life. And so he numbered Israel. Against even the advice of some of his soldiers and generals, he numbered Israel and he counted them. And then when the number came back, the word of the Lord also came back and said, you've done an evil thing. This thing was wicked. And so God gave him a choice. He said, now, either you can flee from your enemy. He gave him a time on that. Or you can have a certain number of years where pestilence will come upon your land. Or you can fall into the hand of the Lord. And David said, well, I know what my enemy is going to do. He's going to destroy me. I know that the pestilence or the plagues, when they come, they're going to destroy us. Let me fall into the hands of the Lord. 3 days. 3 days, 70,000 people were lost in Israel. And here's what happened. The angel of the Lord was standing over Jerusalem with a drawn sword, getting ready to strike Jerusalem. So do you think that the altar was important at this time? Absolutely. And God directed him through the same prophet Gad, said, now you go and you build an altar. I'm going to tell you where it's going to be. You build it at the threshing floor of a man by the name of Araunah, the Jebusite. Go over to his property and tell him that you need to build an altar and that you're going to sacrifice unto the Lord. Now, here's what happened. Here's what happened. A whole lot of issues going on with this thing. See, he had to get this right, because if he did not, remember that angel? Now, God told him to put his sword up, but he didn't tell him that he was dismissed. So if you don't get it right, if David, if you just handle this in a haphazard way, that destruction that started can also keep going. We don't really look at the issue of the altar as being important, but you don't know how much mercy God shows us. We don't understand sometimes how deeply we're in trouble when we don't have fellowship with God, when we don't have that time with Him. And so it's important that we get the things of the altar right. Put something on the altar that means something. Don't play around with this issue. Don't play with your relationship with God. Here's the reason why. Here's the reason why. You've got to look at, first of all of us sin, right? Some of us admit it, some of us don't. But all of us sin, all sin and come short of the glory of God. We know that. But another issue at hand, even if it's not something that you've done wrong, even if you said, well, I think I'm okay, you need to also recognize that there are needs in your life. Who will provide for you? Who will open doors for you? Who will say to you, I'll take care of you, except God? See, we can only do so much with our resources. We can only do so much with what we have, you know, and then a storm can come through and totally wipe out everything that you have. You know, all of us are one event away from being homeless, one event away from being totally bankrupt. You know, one event, that's all it takes. It's one thing. Even the richest person in the world can say, well, you know what? I got plenty of money to last me the rest of my days. One event. Amen. One event. If you lose your mind, what good are your riches? Amen. One event. And so we'll always be in a situation where we need to come to this altar. And even though it may not be a thing of where I'm consciously aware that I've done anything wrong, I still know that I need God. Guess what? When you got up this morning, you needed God. And the old folk would acknowledge, they said, I can't even take a step without the Lord holding my hand. So you know that you need Him. But then the other thing is, this wonderful thing that God does, He fellowships with us. Now, in the Old Testament, they focus on the first two, the sin and the need. But in the New Testament, we have this wonderful verse, truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. The disciples said, well, what do we call Him when we pray? Jesus said, our Father. That's a relationship that we have with God. So when you come to the altar, you want to make sure that you are recognizing that relationship that we have with Almighty God. We didn't create it. He did. He said, I want to claim you as my children. I want you to enjoy the goodness of the Lord. So when you spend that altar time, when you come before God and you start just pouring out your life and your heart before God, what you're saying, Lord, thank you for this fellowship. Even though I've got things that's going on, and probably when I get up off my knees, they're still going to go on, but it's good to know that you're going to walk with me through this. Yes. That you promised me that you'd never leave me nor forsake me. Ladies and gentlemen, you can't get any better than that. There's nothing more significant than your relationship and your fellowship with God. We sing that song, what a fellowship. Amen. What a joy divine. What? Leaning on the everlasting arms. Amen. So when you have that altar time and when you get it right with God, you recognize that He's the Lord. So here's the issue. Here's David. He's coming up now to that place where he sees it in a distance. That's the place. That's where God told me to go and to make this sacrifice. So I'm going to go up there. I'm going to sacrifice to God. And really, I know I've done wrong. I've done something. So I want to make sure I get this right. You know, we recognize our faults and our infirmities, right? But don't say to yourself, you know what? I'm not going to even try. It's been so much of a failure. Let me just give up right now. Please don't do that. Again, going back to the old folk, you make one step. All right? You make one step. Grace and mercy are going to make two steps. As you draw close to God, God draws close to you. He knows where you are. And the amazing thing was, Brother Rufus, is that God told David where to go sacrifice. He told him the name of the property, and Brother Joe, he even told him, said, look, you go there, and I want you to build an altar unto. He gave him instructions. God will show you how to get close to him. If you just pay attention, be aware that this is something that you've got to take to heart. So here's what happened. He goes to the threshing floor of Araunah, and he's recognizing that here comes the king. This must be a critical issue. This must be pretty important. As a matter of fact, as we read in some of the other records, Araunah saw the angel. And so he and his sons, they ran and hid themselves. Man, what in the world is going on? This destruction is coming. And here comes the culprit. Here comes the person that caused the problem. So now, if you're in Araunah's shoes, you're saying to yourself, man, we need to get this right. Let me help this guy out. Let me just go on and give him something. Let me just, hey, king, here's something to help you. Because I don't want this happening on my property. You know where some people pay you to leave? Let me just give you something to get this thing straight, all right? Because he was afraid. So he said to David, I'll give you the oxen. I'll give you the wood. I'll give you everything you need to sacrifice to get this thing right. I will provide it. But you know what? Cheap stuff will tell on you. Cheap stuff will tell. Cheap sacrifices will tell on you. You go and buy some cheap deodorant if you want to. And as soon as the pressure's on, everybody gonna know. Yeah, you should have put some in. Cheap shoes don't last long. Had a pair one time. Look good. They look good, bro. Brought them at a place called Pay for Less. Stepped out in my shoes. I'm telling you, they were shining. It started to rain. And the next thing you know, those cheap shoes let me down. You can't have a cheap relationship when it comes to the altar. And what David recognized is that, wait a minute, you're going to give me this? And this is a problem that I have with God, and you want me to make this offering. I understand where you're coming from. I realize what's in your heart and how that you want this thing to be settled. I recognize that. That's why we have to be ever so careful with these words, pray for me. Be careful with that. Be careful with that because, number one, people don't know what you need. You can tell them some of it, but they can't read what's in your heart. But don't you know that God is a heart fixer and a mind regulator? So when you come to him and you say to people, pray with me. Don't pray for me, but pray with me. While you talking, I'm going to talk. So if your talk doesn't match my talk, I'll call him up and tell him what I want. Tell him what I need. So when you look at this, you have to look at, Araunah made this amazing offer, and I'm very thankful for people that are willing to give to help you. But you got to be careful and make sure that you're putting something into this thing, that you're recognizing there's a deep need here, and I really need God. How many really need God today? You know, even if you're not facing an emergency, there's something going on in your life that you say, I really need God. And having someone else to talk for you. You know, if any of you have ever been in a courtroom and the lawyer starts saying stuff and you don't understand what he's saying and you just, you're frowning up, you kind of, what? That ain't the way it happened. And maybe some of you never been there. You ought to thank God you've never been there. All right. So David responds. The issue is so critical that he cannot leave the responsibility of his offering with someone else. He refuses to just say, okay, you handle it. No, David said, no. I appreciate what you're doing, but this is what I've got to do myself. It's not that you're going to pay for your sin. You cannot do that. But you ought to at least bring an offering that says, God, I'm serious about this. The need is so great and my heart is so burdened that I need to get this right. So hear the words of David. He said, now, I cannot offer to the Lord, my God, anything that doesn't cost me. I refuse to do that. It's my responsibility. I've got to pray. I've got to make sure that this thing, even though we say Jesus paid it all, I know that, but when it comes to the altar time, you got to bring. You got to bring. You can't expect what you don't bring. Another thing, when you fail to do that, I call it convenience store religion. You know, you go through the convenience store, I recognize it's the place where you get quick stuff. You know that? Now, you're going to pay a lot. You're going to pay the convenience store prices, right? And then you get a tiny little bit. Huh? You don't get what you're... Now, if you really want to do some serious getting stuff, go to Sam's Club. You get a whole lot of stuff. My point is this. When it comes to spending time with God, don't act as if, let me hurry up and park, leave the engine running, go in and get what I need, and run back out. What David was really saying, he said, I got to spend some time with God. I've got a major issue going on in my life. 70,000 people just died because of what I did. I've hurt some innocent folk. In my own stupidity, in my own arrogance. And David said, I want to get this right. I understand you wanting to help me, but this one, I got to take care of it. And you know, the same God that called him to the altar was the same God that loved David enough that when he got to the altar and paid the shekels for not only the threshing floor, but everything else involved. He paid enough, and God stood right there. And that's when God looked at the angel and said, you're dismissed. Don't need you anymore. The boy got the point across. He recognized what he did. He's willing to bring an offering and a sacrifice to show his brokenness and how that he needs this relationship with me. You're dismissed. Go on. When you start recognizing God and you start saying to yourself, Lord, this is between you and me. I want to be for real. God's going to hear your cries. Matter of fact, he listens for the cries of his people. So let me just share with you a couple of things before we close here. A couple of things that I feel is very important. And when you go to the altar, expect something. Don't just say, well, I'm gonna go to the altar and I'm going to just pour out my life and that's it. No. You're going to leave with something. Now, if you bring cheap stuff, you're going to leave with something cheap. All right? You know, some people, they come to the altar and they half confess and they get a shout. Maybe they get a praise the Lord. Or maybe they get one or two hallelujahs and they feel better. But a little bit later on, that same problem that they had because they didn't pray consistently and fervently over that issue, now it's come back on their shoulder. Pray until God hears your cry and said, I know what you're talking about. Pray until he gives you that peace on the inside. You stay before the Lord and you make sure that you and God have connected. Here's a scene that Jesus tells us about Luke tells us about in the gospel. And Jesus is observing as the people come and they present their gifts at the temple. Everybody's bringing their gifts. And so what happens, you've got the people that can afford it in one of the renditions of Luke's gospel. Those that can afford it, they came in and gave a portion, a little bit. They came in and they dropped in their money, and some of them were loaded, and so they brought in, oh man, this is great here. Oh yes, God will be pleased with this. Kind of like the other situation that Luke talks about, two men were praying, and the one prayed about, oh God, I thank you that I give tithes. I thank you that I do all of these amazing things. God, I thank you that I'm not like this guy. And the other guy, he was so broken, he just... God, have mercy on me, a sinner. So all these big people, they're coming in, they're giving, they're putting it into the offering, and the leaders, they're kind of standing back, oh, that's wonderful. And Jesus is observing. Finally, there walks in this widow, poor widow, poor widow. And she drops in two mites. Didn't even make up a penny. Two mites. And her offering was so loud that it rang the portals of glory. Jesus said, this woman has given more than all the rest. Her small gift. Why? Because she had poured in all of her living. Everything that she had, small in portion, but great in mass, because she had given God everything that she had. It's not the size, but it's the intent of the heart when you give. And don't you think that when Jesus recognized that he looked at that woman and said, you know what? Nobody else knows this, but I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to provide. You don't have a husband. You don't have a family. But be not dismayed. Whatever be tied, I'll take care of you. David put it this way in another psalm. He said, I was young, but now I'm old, but I have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed go begging bread. Sometimes when you start giving and you give and you say, man, I really don't have it, but your heart gets bigger than your brain, and you start giving anyway. Somebody's in need, and you just feel the compassion. Oh, this is my gas money. Huh? And you give it anyway. And you recognize that the need is great. God honors that. God honors that. Then the last thing we understand is that David's gift was accepted. What he gave to the Lord meant something. The Bible says, and David built there an altar unto the Lord. This would be the future site of the temple. This would be where they would locate the temple, where they would, as Israelites, they would come and they would worship God on this site that David was now purchasing. Now, what does that say? Sometimes it starts at a place where you didn't really intend for it to happen. But two things happen. Your gift was so significant that the Lord said, I'll honor what you're doing here. And it became a memorial. See, God already knew. That's why he told him, this is the spot. And here's why I'm going to bless you. All right? I'm going somewhere with this because as I close, I need you to understand something. Sometimes it's your worst mistake, your biggest blow up, that brings you to the place where you're on your knees. Don't complain about it. Don't complain. That might be the beginning of something new between you and God. Because before, you were just kind of drifting along. You were just kind of coasting along in your relationship with God. And all of a sudden, some big event happens, and it drives you to your knees. And at the place where you're on your knees, God sanctifies it. Amen. God says, this is the place where you and I, we're going to meet. And we're going to have fellowship. And we're going to get it straight. And you're going to go on with your life. You're not going to wallow in your misery. You're not going to go back and you're going to say, well, here's why I messed up. No, because you had fellowship. You had an altar. You had a place where you could come and lay your burden before the Lord. And God, whether you saw it or not, whether you intended it for it to happen or not, God fixed you at the altar.
Yeah.
You got it straight.
Yeah.
And truly your fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. A couple of closing points. What can I bring, preacher? Bring your praise. Bring your praise. Now I know we have choirs, we have singers, we have people that pray, but they're not a replacement for you. They come to lead, but they didn't come to do solo. You got to be a part of that praise process. When you come to church, every time you just simply shed a tear because something has touched you, or maybe you'll wave your hand, or maybe you'll say amen. You're bringing a praise. It means something to you. What else can I bring, preacher? Well, you can bring your service to God. Bring your service. What are you planning on doing with the rest of your life anyway? Is it just going to be a situation, I need God, bless me, Lord, and let me go on about my business? That's not the way it works. He strengthens you for His service. He strengthens you so that you can share with the world this amazing love that God has for you. And then lastly, what do you bring? You bring what you know about Jesus. An amazing thing happened at the altar when you gave your life to the Lord. You gave Him your sin. He gave you His name. Now, some people, that doesn't mean a whole lot. That doesn't mean a whole lot. Let me put it into context. If Bill Gates, which I don't know him personally, wish I did, but if Bill Gates gave me a bunch of checks, matter of fact, he'd only need to give me one, where his name is signed on there, and he'll say, now I'm giving you my name. Go and write whatever amount you want. Hot dog. You kidding me? And yet Jesus has given you access to the kingdom of heaven. And this is what He said. Whatever you ask the Father in my name, He'll give it to you. That's better than, thank you, Bill Gates, but I think I'm good now. I don't need your check because I got one from Jesus. Somebody. Yes, somebody, when you know that you know Him and you know that you love Him and that He's called you to the altar to take away what you don't need and you can't use to give you what will fill your life and bring you joy everlasting and peace forevermore, you've got the love of Jesus. Give the Lord a hand. Amen. Father, thank You for Your grace and love. Thank You for Your amazing power. And Lord, I still don't understand how it works, but by faith, I accept it, that You call us to the altar. And as David, I will not offer anything that doesn't cost me something. I'm going to put my heart and soul in it. I'm going to bring myself as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is my reasonable service. That, Lord, I might know what is Your will, what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Thank You for that. Thank You for the invitation. Thank You, God, for the blessed assurance. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to ask that we all stand, if there be one today, and perhaps you've got some struggles that are going on in your life and you're asking yourself, how can I get this straight? The altar is the answer. And as you bring your best, God will give His best because He loves you just that much and He's given you just that much. So is there one today? We ask that you would come. Is there one?